Welcome to Hurt Less, Live More with me, JJ, the practical alchemist and renowned psychiatrist, now retired, so he tells me, Dr. Mark Goulston. And today, our guest for some open and sometimes raw conversation about the hurts we've experienced and how we manage to hurt less is Vanessa Louise, aka the Naked Coach, who believes that feeling is the secret to healing. So welcome, Vanessa. And Mark, that's very much where we're coming from, isn't it?
Yeah, gee, retired coach. You know, that means the that means the world is through with me, but I'm not through with the world.
We know that. We know that.
Thank goodness.
I'm hanging on by some fingernails to being to being relevant before my mind, you know, turns into Looney Tunes. Anyway, Vanessa, so looking forward to having you on, and. You know, and I think you're so aligned with the theme of our show, which is if you let yourself feel certain feelings that nobody's comfortable with, but if you let yourself feel them versus running away from them, you can act, and especially if you can share it with someone who can listen to you empathically and compassionately, it's much better than running into drinking, eating, getting angry at people, cutting people off in traffic. So what JJ and I would want to know is how you came to believe this.
It's a really great question. And actually, your question takes me straight to the point where my life turned around in 2008. I was at the deepest, darkest corner of my life, lying in bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, next to my husband, who was addicted to drugs and alcohol, and I was contemplating killing him, which sounds very drastic. I contemplated taking my own life many times, and I'd got to the point where the pain was so bad that I thought the only way to stop this pain would be to take his life. And just for the record, I'm a loving, caring, generous kind of person. So the fact that I was even lying there contemplating this rocked me. And I woke up to myself. I was awake, but I woke up to myself as I was contemplating, should I stab him or suffocate him? What can I get away with? What would look like self-defense? And in that moment, I thought to myself, my goodness, I cannot. This has got to stop. And I prayed for a miracle. And I literally, dear God, please help me, help me, help me, help me in this moment. And I had three words that came to me. And I remember thinking and looking up at the ceiling, you have got to be kidding me. There is no way in the world I'm contemplating killing someone here. And you think that's the answer? And I was reluctant and all a bit grumpy because I prayed for a miracle and I, you know, that's what I got. And these three words kept coming and I was like, absolutely no way. There is no way that is going to solve my problems. There's nowhere in the world. And then the three words kept coming, quick succession, three times, which made me listen, because that's normally my patterning. And the three words were love and gratitude, love. And it was getting louder and louder. And I went, fine, okay, then. And I grumpily got out of bed and threw my nightshirt on and I marched across the landing. And I stood over both my children at that time. They were 7 and 5. And I started with my daughter. And all babies look amazing and angelic when they're asleep. Stood over my daughter and I said, thank you. Thank you for you. I'm so grateful you're safe. Thank you for my picture you drew me today. Thank you for my hug. Thank you for your beautiful smile. And I kind of went on like this. And then I walked across the landing and I stood over my son. Thank you for you. Thank you for helping me stir the dinner today. He was 5. Thank you for your cheeky smile. Thank you for, and I just kept this. All I could think about doing was just listening to this miracle that had come to me. Instantly, I felt the weight of the world lift off my shoulders. And within a few seconds, and I tingle now as I relay this story, because it literally was a turning point for me. And I calmly walked back to bed and I slept for 3 hours soundly. And I can't remember the last time I had slept that long, that peacefully. And the next morning, I got the kids up and I walked them to school. And the weird thing was, I noticed the tops of the trees. I noticed the tops of the trees. I noticed people smiling at me. And I hid what we were living with very well. Very few people knew. But I thought to myself, I didn't realize that tree looked like that. I didn't realize that tree. And I must have been looking down so fearful of looking at the world around me. And from that moment, I promised myself that I would do the best I possibly could to live as simply and with gratitude and looking for the beauty in life as best I could. Because if I can feel that bad in that moment and want to hurt somebody else because I was hurting, and I could feel that shift so instantly, there had to be some truth in it. And that's what then became, I can only describe as my transformational journey. And hence how I live the life I do now and why I completely changed my career because of that moment.
Wow, that is so powerful. And I'm welling up right now. We've kind of joked before that this show should be called Cry More, Hurt Less. But it's story that is such a powerful story. So powerful. And, you know, so many people do get to that point where they are literally contemplating taking such drastic action. It's for many people unconscionable, you know, people don't understand it. But when you're in there, that's a horrible place to be.
Well, emotion takes over, right? Especially unlovely emotions, I call it. And I try to keep this work that we're all so passionate about as simple as I possibly can, because society and the powers that be have made it so flipping complicated that nobody does anything about it. So because of my own experience, that's why, and I keep tingling, because the more I started to share, and this is a world away from my previous life, as in my previous life was cosmetics. I just wanted to help people feel better about themselves. So I got into beauty therapy and skincare and cosmetics and TV and film makeup. I just was helping people on the outside. But because of my own adversity and then people saying to me, so how did you do it again? What was it you changed? And I was like, I don't really know. I just made a different choice. Yeah, but what choice did you make? You know, what, you know, talk me through it. How did you do it? And I was like, so for about 2 or 3 years, I was like, I don't really know. So I had to go back over my process and work out what it was I'd actually done. But when we are in that unlovely place, and unlovely kind of doesn't really do it justice, but let's keep it simple. When it's really all a bit unlovely, you are so far away from who you truly are, the love and the energy and the beauty of life, that it kind of wakes you up, and you are not consciously thinking, you're not rationally thinking lovely things. You just want to escape that pain. So from that very moment, I learned that actually it was okay to feel really bad. It was okay to contemplate, think about doing the unforgivable. It was okay, even though I didn't feel very good about it, it's okay, because actually it was my greatest healing. Because you're that desperate that you will do anything or ask for anything. And yeah, I'm just so grateful that I was, I suppose, ballsy enough to actually do something about what came to me. So many people ask, they don't hear, or they don't do anything about it, and then they wonder why they're still in that horrible cycle that keeps them trapped.
I want to share something that happened. In the last week, I watched a movie. I think it's either on Netflix or one of the other things. And it's called Mr. Rogers and Me. Mr. Rogers was this, he was a staple in children's lives a few decades ago. And he was the most kindly person. And someone did this documentary about his life, someone who met him later in his life and lived next to him on Nantucket Island, which is off of Massachusetts. And he interviewed people who knew Mr. Rogers. And what stuck with me is a couple things. Mr. Rogers said, it's better to keep things deep and simple than shallow and complex.
Love that.
Isn't it?
And then the other thing that I took away from what he said was, Mr. Rogers said, we can love other people into being.
Yes, I totally agree with you.
Yeah, and I'll share an anecdote. I think I've shared it in maybe previous episodes, but for many years I focused on suicide prevention, and I asked one of my patients what helped. And I wouldn't use those words prior to having seen this movie. But he said, the patient said, "I'm a burden to everyone. I scare my parents. I worry them. They'll tell me they love me, but I know I burden them. And my brother and sister think I'm just this manipulative person, which I am. And my life is really a mess. So it's a burden to me. So I just think about, why don't I relieve the world and me of that burden?" And he said, "When I first met you, you had this smile on your face. You were happy to see me. And I thought you were crazy. I still think you're crazy, Doc. But I couldn't believe what you were smiling at. And it wasn't about focusing on whether I was following, you know, medication or procedures." And he said, "Your smile said I wasn't a burden to you." Mm. And it was like a little island. Mm. I would visit you. And sure, we'd talk about things. But I couldn't believe it was like a space where I wasn't a burden to someone.
Love that.
And yeah. I guess I loved him into being.
Yeah.
You saw the part of him. Yeah, that's amazing. And you saw the part of him that he had become blind to. And yes. just for the record, my husband, who, bless him, is now my ex, is also my very best friend. I didn't do the unforgivable. And we went through an amazing journey together, and he is living a beautiful life, clean, dry, and with the love of his life. And we are all very close. So I just want to say that for the record, he's done an incredible job. But one of the things he said to me, which I hear more times than I care to admit, is when I was shouting at him, and obviously I won't use the language I was on this show then, but I said, I hate you. I hate my life. I hate what this has become. And his response to me was, "Not as much as I hate myself." That really made my heart sink.
Mm.
Talking about your client being a burden and feeling a burden. And I'm doing some work in a category B men's prison as well with the Prison Fellowship. I'm so super excited. And they say in that work that I'm doing with them, these men are in there for obviously unthinkable things, but they talk about they hated who they'd become. It had got that desperate that they were acting out of that hatred, out of that fear place, out of that burden. I'm a burden, so I might as well just carry on. And then it just becomes who they are, so they think. So actually sitting with, smiling at your client, sitting with people, and seeing beyond the story, beyond the actions, the unlovely things that they have become in their physical being, and seeing right into the center of who they truly are and smiling at that part reminds them that that's who they actually are. But I believe you can only do that if you first recognize that within yourself. So if I am willing to heal my own hurt that I've harbored all these years, and a lot of it, we don't know what we don't know. But if I'm willing to go there within me first, then I have the capacity to appreciate that you also have that in you, whether you believe it or not. And that's what my work is about. Let's get naked and let's actually see, emotionally naked, story naked, and let's just get to the heart of this and just transform yourself from the inside out. But yeah, just as simple as a smile, or just being there for somebody and compassionately listening to truly communicate heart to heart, energy to energy. You love someone from that place, you remind them who they are, then you watch them blossom into the most beautiful version they can be. It takes work, obviously, but the beginning is, if I can see the beauty in you, it will just remind you that at least it's there.
I love that. I really do love that, Vanessa. And Mark, as you were telling that story, and we have heard it before, I've heard it before from you, but this is the first time that it actually triggered something in me. And I realized that's how I would feel as a child. I felt that I was a burden. Mm. And, you know, nothing really landed. You know, "Oh, you know, I love you," didn't really land. You know, just when you were saying that your client said that, you know, they tell me that they love me, but, you know, I know that I'm really just a burden. It's kind of how I felt, but I never really thought of it in those terms. So thank you for that. Mm. Wow.
That's really powerful.
Yeah, Vanessa, for our listeners, and the majority of them are women, if you're listening to this, I think you need to write down the phrase, I hate who I have become. Mm. Because I think if you share that with the people around you, so for instance, I don't know what it's like in the UK, but something I'm noticing in young marriages, millennial marriages in America, is a lot of American millennials are impatient.
Mm.
Everything's the internet, impatient. And I guess they get along, but then when you have an infant child that requires your patience because they're not sleeping through the night, they're not eating, what happens is often those mothers feel so awful hating their infant, which they won't admit to themselves because they're so exhausted, they're overworking. They displace it onto their husbands. And so the husband feels like he can do nothing right. Everything he does is wrong. And I think if you're listening to this and you can relate to that, I think if you were to say to your husband, I hate who I have become. I wanted this child so badly, and now I'm impatient. I am tired. I just want them to get to sleep, and I hate who I've become. I think I'm a horrible mother. I think if you can bare your neck that way, what's going to happen is your spouse is going to say, you're a wonderful mother. Because you're not attacking him. Mm. You're a wonderful mother. You're just exhausted.
Mm. Mm.
Yes.
It's a please help me, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Yeah. So powerful. Hold that thought for a few minutes, because we're just going to take a quick break right now. We have to do the commercial break. So maybe write down, I hate what I've become in that break. I've just done that, actually. Mm. And we'll see what happens with that for me. But we'll be right back after this from our station sponsors.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Hurt Less, Live More on UK Health Radio with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist, Dr. Mark Goulston, and the Naked Coach, Vanessa Louise. And Vanessa, I think you wanted to say something about the story that Mark told.
Yeah, I just was saying in the break that thank you to both of you. And thank you, JJ, for what you said about the story, about what Mark shared and what it resonated with you in the fact that it brought up with you that you struggled to receive. You yeah. felt that you were a burden. And one of the things I say to my class or anybody I love that I'm speaking to, and when they share with me that they are in pain, that they're struggling with something, I think I'm a burden or this hurts, I'm like, good, good. Because, and they're like, oh, what do you mean good? And I don't get me wrong, I'm not pleased you're in pain, but I'm happy that you're saying this hurts.
Mm.
Because only when we admit that it hurts and we do something about it, because Mark, you've alluded to at the beginning, whether it was before we came on air or the beginning of the show, is that we don't want to feel that hurt. We're not wired. We're wired and we're designed in the eyes of the creation of love. So therefore, anything that is the opposite of love, which there isn't, right? But it's kind of like what we perceive to be the opposite. We don't want to feel, because that's not what we're wired for. So no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to feel that. We pretend it's not happening. But who are we kidding, actually? So only when we can truly accept that there is a human side of us that does hurt, that does feel pain, that does want to throw our toys out the pram and say, stuff this, I want to get angry and I want to hurt. But only when we accept that part of us, I call that my miserable bitch, but only when I can accept that part of me can I then accept that there is an opposite to that. And to actually admit that this hurts, then it's a little bit like that trapped burp is the only analogy I can think of. You know, when it hurts and then you just let the burp up, the relief, and you go, yeah. Oh, thank God, That's the same with our energy, the emotions that we are trapping. Once it hurts, let it up. And then, of course, it can't cause you pain. It might hurt on the way up. It might be comfortable on the way up. It might be embarrassing.
It's gone, right?
It's gone, exactly. Yeah. So good. I'm glad that resonated. I'm glad that you found that there was something that maybe you can go and meditate on or journal about and actually fully appreciate that that was maybe your story telling you you were a burden, because you're so not.
I'm going to cry again now. I will let Mark speak now.
I'm sending you a hug.
Thank you.
This is amazing, Vanessa. Both of you are amazing. And when you were saying you're in pain, something that I've sometimes said to people is, can you say to me, not that you're in pain, but I have pain in me that I can't make go away.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a slightly different thing than if I'm in pain, you're swallowed up it. But if you say I have pain in me that I can't make go away, and it triggered an anecdote, which I don't think I've used, JJ, and you could say, oh, you use that in show three because, you know, by whatever.
It'll be fine. It doesn't matter.
But both my parents, died. My dad died in 1995 and my mom died about 10 years ago. And they would often bicker. And they lived on the East Coast of America. And when they would come to visit, as soon as I picked them up in the airport, they would be bickering in the car. And what I was thinking is, I just want to take them back to the airport and send them back home. And it would sort of drive me crazy. And I would be kind of quiet in the car. And then something magical happened. I switched from I hate when they bicker to I hate the way I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And when I said to myself, I hate the way I feel, I didn't have to do anything retaliatory. I didn't have to take them back to the airport. When I was thinking, oh, I hate the way they bicker. And what happened is I got very calm. In fact, I got so calm that they got annoyed because obviously they were using me when they bicker as some sort of a triangulation. And they got quiet and they said, what's the matter? And I was just feeling great, because the more I said, I hate the way I feel, the more I realized I didn't have to do anything. I just had to feel it. Whereas if I hated them, I had to do something. I had to yell at them or get sullen. And they got very quiet.
Yeah, because you weren't playing the game.
Yeah.
Right. That's right. I wasn't. And they said, what's going on? And I said this honestly. This is how it frees you. I said, I was just thinking that I don't see you very often. Because in my mind, I was calculating, gee, I don't see them that often. And if I add up all the days when I'm actually in contact with them, it'll be less than 50 total days before one of them dies.
Wow.
There'd be the occasional phone call, but actually in terms of FaceTime, I'd think, geez, I'm only going to have 50 FaceTime days, where we're together before one of them dies, because that would take us a number of years. And so I was thinking that. But thank you for sharing what you did, because I just recalled that. And if you're listening in, if you can pause and think, I hate the way I feel, you don't have to do anything about it. You just admit it to yourself. And I'm wondering, Vanessa, if when you were at that point where you wanted to kill your husband, maybe what was going on is you were thinking to yourself, I hate the way I feel and I can't make it go away. And the only way I can make it go away is to make him go away.
Yeah, absolutely. It was the desperation of not wanting to feel what I was feeling and thinking that I had to do something about getting myself out of it. So by taking the matter into my own hands, that's never what it's about. And I think, thank you for sharing that beautiful story about your parents, because you took the energy out of the situation by releasing it from you And what you did, in my understanding through all of this that I've learned over the years, is you brought yourself into the present moment rather than joining in their squabbles or whatever. You brought yourself into the present moment by appreciating that this might be one of the last times you physically see them. You might see, and it doesn't that just change everything? We always say, don't we, that when we have something sad in our lives that happens, or we lose a loved one, it brings it into perspective. And isn't that, and I'm doing the inverted commas here, that the perspective is present. What actually, am I willing to be here now? Because if I am, what would change? And a beautiful saying, a phrase I say to myself is, what would love do? Would love have joined in the conversation and said, oh, shut up, mum and dad, you know, blah, 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 you're always having to go at each other? Or would love see it in a different way? And that's what you did. And you came from that place. So therefore, coming into the present moment just completely shifts everything. But you allowed the feeling, the hate, that the feeling you were hating to feel, you just released it just by acknowledging it. And the problem is, I think, as human beings, in my understanding, I wonder if this is true for you or resonates, is that we think we've got to do something. And if we think we've got to do something as human beings, we keep ourselves trapped in the story that lives in our heads, that is, you know, that we're smaller than, and et cetera, et cetera. Whereas actually, if we just drop into our hearts and come into the present moment, we allow the power of love, as I call it, that highest vibration in the universe. Some people call it God, source, universe. You can call it Fred, I don't really mind. But that energy, that's what's doing the work, not us. Not us as a human being, but we're conditioned and programmed to believe that we as a human being are doing something. Because we hear let go, surrender, get out of the way. And we go, yep, get it. I understand all of that. But what does that actually mean? Mm-hmm. And for me, the only way I've ever calmed my pain, healed my hurt, just connected very simply, is just to become familiar with my heart beating. And I share often, it's as simple as 1, 2, 3. It's not easy, but it's as simple as 1, 2, 3. 1, pause where you are, you stop. 2, breathe. Take a breath. You are being breathed. You're not breathing. You are being breathed. So if I focus on my breath, I tingle as I say that. If I focus on my breath, not only does it bring me to my heart because my lungs are next to my heart, but it naturally takes me away from my head where I'm creating my problem, exacerbating my situation, into my heart center. 3, feel my beating heart. What is it that's beating my heart? Because if that's not beating my heart, I'm not here. The electricity that's charging my body and beating my heart. So if I can pause, breathe, feel my beating heart, and I don't care who you are, what you're doing, where you are, if you can do 1, 2, 3, it'll take you instantly, just for a few seconds, into your heart, which is my understanding of what you did in the car with your parents. You open up your heart, which has the capacity to heal everything. Everything. There is nothing that love cannot heal. It's the highest vibration. It's light. Darkness cannot exist when light is present. And it's as simple as it is. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that I know all there is, but I do know this to be true for me. Wherever I have been in my pain, just by being in my heart, it will just heal all of it. And then I just have to keep making that choice as often as I can to remain in that open place. And then just watching how that transforms me, my situation, and then the world around me.
I think that's very, very powerful. Yeah.
That is so lovely. Pause, breathe, and then feel your beating heart. I think if you're listening in, and I'm guessing Vanessa knows this, you can actually put your hands over your heart. Mm. You know, if you're right-handed, put your left hand over your heart and your right hand over your left hand. Mm. There's an exercise that I give people where imagine the left hand is the loving mother that you always wanted. Mm. And the left hand is saying to you, I'm here and I'm not going anywhere.
Love it.
And you can just feel that and forget about the mother you did have, unless you had a loving mother. And then the right hand is the loving, strong father that you always wanted, saying to that mother, I'm here too, and we're all going to be okay.
Love it. And
you can recreate a family in that exercise, but I'm doing it right now. I'm feeling the left hand over my heart. I can feel the warmth, and I'm feeling the strength of my right hand over my left hand. And it's like creating this, it's creating a family instead of the one we ran away from.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. And even if you had a beautiful family like I did, and this is, I relayed this to a friend earlier, that I'm blessed to have beautiful people around me. But when I've needed people most, whether I've called them or reached out to them, they've never answered the phone or been there when I've put call by. And I think, why is it when I need people the most, no one's ever there? And there's always this voice that says, hello, lovely, I'm here. And that's either my higher self or universe or power of love or God or whatever you want to call it. And what you've just explained there, Mark, is really, for me, exceptionally powerful. Because again, people, when they do feel alone, and whether you've got two arms or not, you can imagine having one hand over your heart, the other hand over that, and creating that unity, that triad, that embrace, that you can embrace yourself wherever you are, even if you are on your own, middle of the night, stuck in traffic, running away from something that's causing you pain. You can just take a breath, pause, take a breath for your beating heart. And that's a beautiful extension to my little exercise. So thank you for sharing that. That's, isn't it about helping people come home to themselves? Because if we can all just feel healed, which we already are, we just don't think we are. But if we can connect to that and feel that bliss place within, as I call it, to boldly live in sweet surrender, can, and then we help other people do the same. If we all did that for ourselves in our own little corner of the world, can you imagine the world that we would create?
Yeah, heal yourself and heal the world. Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Inside out.
Absolutely. So powerful. I love that, Vanessa. But everybody, we're just going to have another short break right now, because it's time for us to listen to more messages from our station sponsors. We'll be back right after this.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Hurt Less, Live More with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and Dr. Mark Goulston, and our guest, Vanessa Louise, a Naked Coach. Now, it's important to say, isn't it, Vanessa and Mark, that when you have these feelings where you really want to kill somebody, and not just in the metaphorical sense, you really feel that you want to, you know, end their life, that doesn't make you a bad person, because that's not coming from a place of what people might call evil.
No.
You literally are doing it with a positive intention to try and get that pain away from you, to end that pain. And so I think it's important to say here that, you know, this is not the action or the thought of somebody who's inherently bad.
No, absolutely. And I think we as human beings, we're self-deprecating, and we use anything we possibly can to reinforce the fact that there is something wrong with us, we're unlovable, we're not enough, all the rest of it. So it's a really good point. Just because I was contemplating doing the unforgivable doesn't mean I'm a bad person. It means that at that moment in time, I had feelings that made me feel bad, really bad, that were right in the surface, a real cocktail of unlovely and desperate and bleak and all the rest of it, right? Many of us have times where we feel like that. It doesn't mean I'm a bad person. It just meant that I attached, I recognized, I aligned myself. I was just feeling all sorts of unlovely. And I think that's the whole point with how to hurt less and live more, is to appreciate that you are not your feelings. You are not what you think.
Absolutely.
It is just energy that is passing through you, or is stuck, actually. If we're hurting, it's because it's stuck. We've got to give it an outlet. So let's recognize that when you are thinking of badly, or you're thinking I'm lovely, or you want to cause harm to yourself or another person just in sheer frustration, because all we're trying to do is fix it. I just don't want to feel like this. I just don't want to feel like this. I want to feel better. But we just get so caught up in it that, yeah, it's a great reminder. You're not bad. You just think you are. You just feel like you are. And the two are very different.
Yeah.
You know, something, JJ, refresh. Well, I guess I can use a story that I've used before, because at least our listeners may have heard it, but our guests haven't. So what you're reminding me of, Vanessa, is that we all have a Jungian shadow, and a shadow is the part of our personality that we don't want to admit is there.
I love it.
Because it makes us feel ashamed that it's there. And if you realize that everybody has this, as long as you acknowledge it but don't act on it, you're good to go. And I gave a sermon at a church, and at the end, I shared this little parable. It's about Jesus and Saint Tom. And did I share this with you, JJ, before?
I don't know if you have, actually.
Oh,
no. Well, the previous story you had about your parents, but not this one, I don't think.
I'll shoehorn it in. So I was giving this sermon about how I never felt good enough, and it wasn't because I didn't make enough money or perform well, because when I did, I still didn't feel good enough. And I realized I didn't feel good enough because down deep, I didn't feel I was a good person, because I had feelings like anger, jealousy, feeling sorry for myself, all those things. And so I'm Jewish, and I'm giving a sermon in a church. And I said, so this is kind of gutsy, I guess. I said, that reminds me of a story, and you and I are not the only ones who have these dark shadows. There's this story of Jesus and Saint Tom, and Saint Tom is taking over the pearly gates because Saint Peter is away. And Saint Tom says to Jesus, how do I do this? What do I do? And Jesus said, well, they all think about me a lot. So before you let them in, why don't you ask them, tell me about Jesus? And St. Tom says, I don't think I can do this. And Jesus says, you'll be able to do it. And Jesus comes back in 3 hours. And Tom says, I've really figured this out. And Jesus said, really? Who'd you see? And he said, it was like an afternoon from Disney. The first person looked like the fairy godmother from Cinderella. And I said, tell me about Jesus. And she said, Jesus is loving. He's beauty. He's kind. And Jesus said, huh, what'd you do with her? Well, I sent her through. And then he said, did you see anyone else? And he said, it was just like Disney. It was like Geppetto from Pinocchio. He came in, he had the glasses, the bushy mustache. And I said, tell me about Jesus. And he said, Jesus is strong. Jesus is just. Jesus is tough. And Jesus said, what'd you do with him? Oh, I sent him through. And Jesus said, you see anyone else? And Tom said, but I don't know if I want to tell you about him. And Jesus said, oh, tell me about him. And he said, it was like a Disney villain, you know, had a black hat on, a gold tooth, a pointed chin. And I said, tell me about Jesus. And the man said, Jesus is vindictive. Jesus holds grudges. Jesus is mean. And Jesus said, what'd you do with him, Tom? Tom said, well, I wouldn't send him through. And Jesus looked at Tom lovingly and said, but Tom, that person saw me exactly the way I am. But what he failed to see is my daily effort to not be that way.
Yeah, I love it. So powerful. I love it. Love it, love it. Love that story.
It is a great story.
My dad shared many stories like that. He's a very wise man. My dad, my best friend, my hero. And he talked about city gates and people coming up to the gatekeeper and saying, you know, we're thinking of moving. What is everybody like in here? He said, well, what are they like where you come from? Well, they're very lovely and very kind and very considerate. Well, that's what they're like in here. And then the next couple comes up and says, we're thinking of moving. He says, the gatekeeper, what is everybody like in your city? He said, well, what they're like where you come from? He said, well, actually, they're a bit mean and, you know, a bit unfriendly and not very considerate. He said, well, yeah, that's what they're like in here. So he always taught us is that what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
But equally, you have to appreciate that there are two sides to everybody. We have a front and we have a back. We have a lovely and an unlovely part. And I spent most of my life living on one end of the stick. Like everything had to be good and clean and lovely. And I'm a recovering perfectionist, right? Because once I've recognized and taken myself through the shadow work, I had to admit that the reason I tried so hard to be happy was because actually the other end of the stick, I was a miserable bitch. Where I was really working so hard to be the peacemaker is because actually the other end of the stick, I was bitterly angry, etc. And you know, and the reason I worked so hard in cosmetics and to help myself look a certain way was because I believed I was ugly. And once I understood, and there's many more of the other end of the stick, but once I sat with my Betty bitch and my angry Annie and my Susie shame and all the rest of it, and I actually accepted that it is another part of me that I can accept exists, but I just choose not to allow that part of me to surface. Because if I can embrace that bitch in me, I will learn how to stand up for myself. There's always a beauty and a gem in the unlovely, in the shadow. And that's what I work on every single day, with myself first, helping myself become more naked with myself, and recognizing that where I'm agitated with other people or where I'm triggered is the greatest gift. Thank you for annoying me and bringing up this rut in me, because now I know that that's the next part of me to embrace. And it's cyclical, right? So just because I've healed it once doesn't mean it's gone forever. It will just keep coming up in me, keep coming up in me, and just keep putting the roots of that baby up and just keep going and keep going. And sometimes I fall off my perch and go, rah, and I can go into the angry and rah, lose my stuff. But a lot of the time now, and I call it bumper on the bowling alley, the idea of a strike, I don't know if you have it in America, we have little bumpers on the edges to stop the ball when you play with the kids, to stop the ball going in the rut. Says that when the unlovely occurs, when the bumper is there, the bumper doesn't beat you up and say, you're useless, you've come off your center, you're missing the whole point of the game. It's there to nudge us and say, hey, lovely, you're off center. The whole point of life is to be centered and to hit the strike. And so when we can see that if we're triggered or anything unlovely that happens in us is actually a gift, look at it, heal it, let it go, then that's how, for me, I can learn to hurt less. So therefore I won't hurt other people, and I can live and love more. And yeah, just a great analogy, but we do tend to see what we are, if that makes sense. We see what we are. So if we are feeling unlovely, we're going to notice the unlovely. If we're feeling lovely, we're going to notice the lovely.
You know, yeah, something that I think is common to everything you're talking about, and I wonder if this is true. And again, it goes back to Mr. Rogers, better to be deep and simple.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm hearing from you is you can't be curious, angry, afraid, or even feel hurt if you're curious.
Mm-hmm.
Just being curious takes it away. I've shared this anecdote. I'm sure JJ, my wife and I were getting into an argument some years ago, and it was not going in a good direction. And so I just asked myself, what's it like for her right now? I just got curious. I wonder what it's like for her. And I realized she didn't like where it was going, because, you know, it was going where, you know, if we said some nasty words, you know, we'd be sleeping in separate rooms. And so instead of reloading, I paused and I said, do you like where this is going? She said, no, I can't stand this. I said, you know, I don't like it either. Do you have any idea how we can keep it from going there? And she paused and she smiled and she said, no, but you're doing good.
Brilliant. Just by being curious. Wow, Mark, what an absolute gem you are. That's amazing. It's, again, isn't it? Getting caught up in the unlovely, and we know it so well. It takes courage to be vulnerable and actually say, can we just try and be lovely? Can we just see if we can change where this is going? Can we? But you've got to be able to be that for yourself first, haven't you? To be able, so you were aware and recognized it, which meant you were able to invite her into where you were, yeah. Taking her out of where she was.
Yeah, and it does take courage. It takes courage because you're going into the unknown. When you're being asked to feel that pain, you don't know whether you're ever going to come out of it. You know, there's no rational thought in your head that's saying to you, that'll be okay for a bit, you'll feel it, and then you'll come out the other end and you'll feel a lot better. Mm. At that point where you're being asked to feel into this pain, you have no idea where that's going to go. Yeah. So you do need courage, yeah. Mm. Absolutely.
It's a really...
I want to give you something, Vanessa, and if I give talks, I'm now going to do this as an icebreaker, and you taught it to me. And if you're listening in and you give presentations at your company or elsewhere, we'd love you to try it and then come back to us. And the icebreaker would be pause, breathe, feel. And the pause would be, I'd like you to all imagine, there's a saying, be here now. Just pause and be here now. Just imagine letting go of all the text messages and all the things you have to do. Because if you multitask, you won't be here. Just imagine that wish. Great. Now I'd like you to breathe. And you could do, you know, some 3-2-1 or 1-2-3 breathing. Just do that a few times. And now I'd like you to feel physically, become aware of your feet on the ground. Become aware of how you're seated. Become aware that there may be people seated next to you that you know or you don't know. And if you know them, be aware of the familiarity. And if you don't know them, well, it's a chance to meet someone. But I can imagine doing that exercise. Pause, breathe, and feel. It would change. I think it would help the entire room to become present.
Oh, you're a genius.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love that.
So use it, Vanessa. Go use it. Tell us how it works out.
I definitely will. Just to elaborate on one of the words you shared there was familiar. That, for me, is what meditation is, because what you just shared that you're going to try out is a form of meditation. But we get freaked out, I think, sometimes by the word meditation.
True.
Because we think we've got to contort ourselves into bend ourselves out, shape like a pretzel and hum and do weird things. Yes, maybe that is a form of meditation. But for me, a form of meditation is to become familiar with, who you truly are. When you ask people to point themselves, where do they point? They always point to their chest. Mm-hmm. They never point to their head or their ear or their elbow or their toe. Always their chest, their heart. This is who I am, not this. This is just who I think I am. And if I can become familiar with it, and the thing is, if you've got a big room of people all doing the same, majority of people are going to go with it. Because you're in charge and you're on stage and you're inviting them to do something. And we know for a fact, as I'm sure as many other people do, when we do pause, breathe and feel our beating hearts, we instantly feel better. The challenge then is to not listen to the egoic mind that will go, oh, this is silly. This doesn't work. You look blah, blah. You forgot to ring so-and-so. You forgot to fit a chicken out the freezer. It's actually about saying, no, I hear you. And I'm going to go back into my heart and just keep practicing that and exercise the heart muscle. So you build the capacity for more of that familiar truth of who you truly are.
I love that exercise.
Yeah, I love it.
And, you know, on that point, we've come to the end of the show. I can't believe it. But what a rich sharing we've had today. Thank you so much, Vanessa. Mark, you know, any final thoughts? We're really coming up to time, but what are your thoughts as we leave everybody?
As you go through your day today, if you're listening in, I'd like you to close your eyes and open them and imagine you're a blind person seeing for the first time. Cover your ears and imagine that you're a deaf person hearing for the first time. And after that, feel your feelings. Just feel as you're walking, because it's something that we're often oblivious because we're in our head. But I would love you to try that and see how that changes just how you are today.
Brilliant. And let us know how you get on with that. Vanessa, thank you so much for sharing with us today. And to all our listeners, if you're listening on the podcast channel, do subscribe and share this episode, because you never know who might find it useful. We would love to hear your thoughts as well. But for now, thank you from me, Mark, and Vanessa. Join us again next time here on UK Health Radio for more Hurt Less, Live More.